The Relentless Tide, a DCI Daily Thriller, Book 6, written by Denzel Myrick and read by David Monteith.
"Count the waves," she told him. "Keep counting. Every seventh wave is the biggest." He watched the sea carefully, counting as each sweep of the ocean hissed up the sand onto the pebbles. Yes, she was right. One wave foamed its way further up the beach, its crest white and broiling. The sound it made louder than the waves that had gone before. It was as though it was shouting, "Look at me! Look at me!" He giggled as he counted again. Sure enough, the seventh wave returned. This time it came closer to the tartan rug on which they were sitting, making him squeal with delight. As the wave receded, drawing back the way it had come, rasping on the sand against the cries of the gulls, the sky darkened. He looked up. The sun was now hidden behind a cloud, leaching the colour and warmth from the day. Fear gripped his heart as another wave crashed onto the shore. Where would the next big wave stop? Would he and his mother be caught in its embrace and dragged back out to the sea? He couldn't swim, and nor could she. He knew that because she had always wanted to be able to teach him but couldn't. That meant that she wouldn't be able to save him when the seventh wave caught them. She hadn't been watching. How could she know? He stood up, grabbing his mother's arm, tugging with all his might. "What is it? What's wrong?" she said, puzzled by the little boy's sudden change of mood. "Come on," he shouted, desperately trying to pull her off the rug and away from the danger. "The big wave! It'll get us!" She hugged him, holding him close. "Darling, the waves won't get us. We're safe. The sea won't come this far up the beach, honest." She smiled at the little boy as he took this in. She almost anticipated the next question. "Are you sure?" "Yes, I'm sure," she replied, smiling at his earnest face, hugging him, their cheeks touching under the warmth of the sun. It was the warmth of that day he remembered as he watched the body flailing about in the surf. He knew it was her. He could see the bright red scarf she always wore when she was painted. Makeup, she called it, but it looked like paint to him, and smelled of perfume, still tied around her neck. He remembered that she'd been wearing it when she left with her friend, kissing him goodbye, leaving a smear of lipstick on his cheek. Her friend had hugged him too, but he hadn't liked that. She had no right to hug him. That was his mother's job, not hers. His mother was beautiful, slim and bright-eyed. This woman was big and ugly, as far as he was concerned, and her perfume was horrid. As he heard them clatter down the stone steps of the close outside the flat where he lived, he sniffed at the air, but the light, distinctive scent his mother always wore was undetectable under the heavy sweetness of the other. He sighed and ran to the window. They were arm in arm, walking down the grey street, against which their bright clothes were a shock of colour, like a picture from one of the books his mother read to him. He felt the fat tear as it slipped down his cheek. Though he held his hand against the cold window pane, ready to wave goodbye, she didn't look back. She never looked back when she was going out. He held his cold hand to his cheek, remembering the warmth of her embrace, as he cuddled the doll. He hated teddy bears and toy soldiers. She had given him to his chest. That had been 3 sleeps ago. Now he was standing on the pier. His granny said a wee walk there would take his mind off his mum. Looking down at the body being tossed about in the waves, he counted. He knew the seventh wave would wash her onto the beach. He heard his grandmother scream. The seventh wave crashed the body onto the shingle below, then hissed its way back out to sea, leaving the corpse of the young woman lying pale and bloated on the sand.